I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hitting the news you might have missed, it's Denton's Daily News.
All right, Denton, what do you got? All right, so we got a couple different things I want to touch on. But first, man, what a night for the Nationals last night. Not in a good way either. They get slaughtered 12-0 to the Braves. Mackenzie Gore had a really good performance last week. Arguably his best of the year, was the complete opposite last night. 3 2/3, 7 runs in that time on 6 hits. Not a great showing.
Yeah, he had what was it, like 3 or 4 really solid performances in a row, and he gets lit up last night. Doesn't get out of the 4th inning, and the Nats get clubbed. Look, the Braves are good, and I mean the Braves are in a playoff race right now. I think I've mentioned this a couple times. I love this time of year, especially when we get towards the end of this month. And now, you know, it's been a few years now with the 3 wild cards. I mean, you just have so many people in the hunt. There's so many big series right now. The Braves and Mets are tied for the 3rd and final wild card spot in the National League. San Diego and Arizona are holding down those spots, but only by 2.5 and 2 games respectively. So you've got some really big games and big series coming up. You know, the Braves play the Mets in the next to last series of the year in Atlanta. That'll be huge, just like Baltimore Yankees will be in the next to last spot of the year. There's some big baseball games coming up, playoff race, playoff implication games. It'll be fun. But the Braves are, you know, they're fighting for the playoffs. I mean, they were the favorite to win the division. I think they were, right? They were favored to win the NL East.
Pretty over big Philly. Favorites. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Pretty sizable favorites.
Yeah. And Philly, you know, right now, I think has the best record in baseball. They've been on a roll recently. I think they won something like 8 out of the last 10. Kyle Schwarber, by the way, just speaking about the Phillies, he had another leadoff, you know, the game home run. 14th leadoff homer of the season. That's an MLB record. Nobody's ever let off that many games in a season with a home run. I mean, imagine 14 times, first batter up, here comes Kyle Schwarber, boom, out 14 times, bottom of the first, top of the first. He's been their leadoff hitter. And all of a sudden, by the way, I'll just mention Bryce Harper really starting to heat up. He was 4 for 5 last night. He's something like 13 out of, he's 13 for 20 in his last 20 at bats. This is his time of year. They're going to be really tough, but you know, the MLB playoffs, man, when you get there, these short series and those first, you know, that first weekend's best of 3. You never know. Last year we ended up with Arizona in the World Series as a wild card. Mackenzie Gore's got to get it together. How's Dylan Cruz doing? I'm paying attention here and there, but is he hitting well? What's his deal?
He hit another homer over the weekend. So yeah. I mean, nobody hit well yesterday, but he had a pretty good performance.
So what is that?
Over the
4
weekend.
Homers for him now.
I think
it's been called up.
It's 3 or 4. Yeah, let me find the exact numbers, but it's 3 or 4. I mean, he's an exciting player, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he's been as advertised, I would say, early on. It's 3 homers for him. 3 homers.
3 homers.
Still pretty good.
Yep. What else?
All right, this is a story that I think you and I would relate very well to. Auburn quarterback Peyton Thorne did not have a great performance this weekend as Auburn lost to Cal 21-14. He threw 4 picks. In that game, he said in an interview that there have been bettors across the country that have Venmoed him as a way to make up for the money that he lost them this weekend with his performance. Auburn, I'm assuming that these gamblers had Auburn to beat Cal, and obviously they did not.
That was a smell test winner for me. Cal plus, by the way, that line, did you see that line come down? Because when I gave it out on the show last Friday, it was 12.5. It came down to 8.5, 9. So there was massive sharp money on Cal. And they won the game outright. Really, to be honest with you, they were never really threatened in the game. And I don't know anything about Auburn this year. I know Peyton Thorne. I know that this is his, what, second year after being the quarterback at Michigan State for like 17 years? Because it seemed like he was at Michigan State forever. And then he's been at Auburn the last couple of years. Auburn football has fallen off here. You know, I mean, that's a program that expects to be contending for SEC titles. And to lose to Cal, an ACC school, by the way, at home in week two has to be pretty tough for, you know, people on the plains to accept.
And you've used a lot of money. A lot of money to lose to Cal. And then remember, one of the New Mexico schools at the end of last year. Not good.
That's right. They lost to New Mexico State last year.
Yeah.
The end of the year, right?
Right before the Iron Bowl. Now, they nearly made up for it when they nearly beat Bama without that, you know, that fourth and crazy throw from Jalen Milroe. But, yeah. I mean, Hugh Freeze, Liberty's finest, getting paid a lot of money to lose.
But I remember saying, because they had gotten on a roll, and I'm pulling up their schedules just to check. They'd gotten on a roll a little bit, and I'm like, you know what? They're going to be tough here down the stretch. Look out, Bama, in the Iron Bowl. And then they went out. Yeah, they had won 3 in a row, and they lost to New Mexico State 31-10 at home the week before the Iron Bowl. And then Maryland blew them out in the Music City Bowl in Nashville. Yeah, I mean, these players in gambling, I mean, that's, you know, get used to it. We've seen it for a few years now, obviously, but with technology and the ability to communicate and being on social media, good luck with that when you don't play well. What else?
So we talked a lot about this season, Caitlin Clark, for reasons that are obvious. She's a massive superstar, and there was a lot of conversation at the beginning of the year on whether or not she'd be able to adjust to the WNBA standards and physicality, and then she struggled in the early portions of the season. Well, she just tied the career record for performances of 25 points and 10 assists. She tied the career record as in, like, not just in one season, as in, like, ever, and she did it in one season with still 4 or 5 games left to play.
Really incredible. I mean, I don't know anything about the WNBA, its history, etc. I mean, when you mention certain names, I know that they were a WNBA player, but I could never tell you, you know, the career they had or the teams they played for. You know, we've heard a lot more of those names recently, you know, Cheryl Swoops and Diana Taurasi, the people especially who have been involved in being critical of Caitlin Clark. But I have to imagine that there's never been a better rookie season in the history of that league than the one she's putting together. I mean, I know we talked about this, and I've kind of now, once football season starts, sorry. I mean, I when I knew that they were playing over the summer, I'd put it on if I was at home to watch her play. She's that good. She's that much fun to watch. But I can't imagine that anybody's ever had a better rookie season in that league, statistically and otherwise. And, you know, we talked about this at one point, you know, in August. She's having one of the great seasons, period. You know, in some of the statistical categories. The 25 and 10 thing, right? I mean, it's not a rookie stat. That's an all, that's a regular, you know, veteran rookie stat. I mean, I don't know. I can't tell you where, you know, what kind of rookie season Maya Moore had. The reason I know her name is that's Caitlin Clark's favorite player of all time. But I can't imagine that there's ever been a better rookie season for a player in that league. By the way, am I correct in saying that they have clinched a playoff spot?
You are. Not only are you correct that they've clinched a playoff spot, they currently are the 6th seed, which is above the Phoenix Mercury, who is where Diana Taurasi plays for.
There you go.
And the Fever have not lost to Diana Taurasi. Caitlin Clark, by the way, is about 50 points, 54 points to be exact, away from breaking the rookie point record, and she has 4 games left to do it. So I think she's going to break that with a considerable amount of room between her and the current holder of the record.
Well, what are the records that she's breaking now? I mean, they're countless, right?
There's
a lot. But some of them are not just rookie records. Am I right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the 25 and 10 as a career thing, doing that in the rookie season is nuts. I think that should headline everything. But she's, I think she's close to the 3-point record, or if she hasn't already broken it.
Here's the list. I just pulled it up. Okay. This is from September 8th. So it's 3 days ago. Caitlin Clark has taken the WNBA by storm. All right, set franchise record for most double-doubles. That's an Indiana Fever franchise record. Set franchise record for the most three-pointers. First WNBA rookie to record 2 triple-doubles. WNBA single-season rookie record for three-pointers. WNBA single-season rookie record for assists. Most assists by a rookie in a WNBA All-Star game. WNBA rookie of the month. WNBA single-game record for assists. So now we're getting into some of the records that aren't just rookie records. WNBA single game record for assists, she had 19. First triple double by a rookie, another rookie award. And first triple double in Fever history. Ninth rookie to be named a WNBA All-Star starter. Only player with more than... fastest player to reach 350 points and 150 assists to start a WNBA season. So that's not a rookie record. Fastest player to reach 350 and 150. I don't see the 25 and 10 record.
I believe she broke that last night, or she tied it last night. Because she hasn't broken it yet. She's tied it.
Are they a threat to do anything in the postseason?
I would not want to see them. They've struggled against like some of the teams like the Liberty and the Aces a couple of times this year, but... I mean, she's in her bag a little bit.
Who does that Aja or Asia Wilson play for?
She plays for the Aces in Vegas.
That's the player that I've seen Indiana play where I'm like, she's the best player that I've seen.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's true.
She's a multi-time MVP winner, turned Brianna Stewart, who plays for the Liberty. They're the two best players.
She is an absolute load to handle and so good. So here it is. Asia Wilson. Yeah, that's the when they've played Vegas and I've watched, I'm like, she's got to be one of the best players in the league. She's averaging 27.3 and 11.9 rebounds. Yeah, she's good. She's really good.
Yeah, she's really good.
All right, what else?
All right, how about a little bit of music stuff? I like
Foo. Hit me with the Dave Grohl story.
I'm about to hit you with the Dave Grohl story.
I did read this.
I like Foo Fighters. Not a massive fan, but I like Foo Fighters. I think Dave Grohl seems like a pretty decent dude. But I will say, yesterday he announced that he had fathered a child outside of his marriage. I would normally leave a story like this alone, but if you're going to announce it on social media, I feel like that makes it fair game. He announced it like I would announce that I got a new job. It was a very unique way of handling things. Maybe he didn't want like a tabloid, if tabloids even still exist. I think it's just more like TMZ stuff. He didn't want them picking it up maybe, but announcing that you fathered a child outside of your marriage is a very weird way of handling that sort of thing.
I agree. I saw this story yesterday, and I'm like, why, other than to get ahead of maybe some, media that was about to break, which is possible. But here's the statement from Dave Grohl, Foo Fighters, of course, from, by the way, Northern Virginia, grew up in Northern Virginia, drummer for Nirvana. Most of you know the Dave Grohl story, I'm assuming. I've recently become the father of a new baby daughter born outside of my marriage. I plan to be a loving and supporting parent to her. I love my wife and my children, and I am doing everything I can to regain their trust and earn their forgiveness. We're grateful for your consideration toward all the children involved as we move forward together. Dave. He put that out on Instagram. I would assume that there was about to be some sort of bombshell story, about him fathering a child outside of his marriage. So he got ahead of it. That would be the reason. There's nothing wrong with that.
I hope that would be the reason. Because if you're just shining this light by yourself.
How old's Dave Grohl? Is he 60 yet?
I think he's in his mid-50s.
Okay.
Because he's 55. He was really young when he was in Nirvana.
Yeah. Well,
have you
wish him the best? I am a Foo Fighters fan, and I was a huge Nirvana fan, still am. You know that series that he did. God, I'm forgetting the name of it. It was really good. It was on HBO. It was basically going city to city and talking about the music history of each city. And they played, you know, like sets, acoustic sets with some of the key people. Do you know the series I'm talking about?
I'm looking it up. I'm trying to find the name of it. I think he does real good stuff when it comes to like television and stuff. I think he's really talented in that regard.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of it? I'm looking for it right now. It was well done. Anyway. He did a lot on
Sound City.
Is that what it's called? Sound City?
Sound City.
That's what it was.
It was a documentary. Yeah.
Yeah. And they went from kind of city to city to, and a lot of the DC was on the punk scene. You know, DC was really like groups like Bad Brains, Fugazi. The punk scene in the 80s, you know, 930 Club, Seth Hurwitz, that whole thing, that was kind of ground zero for that genre. And that was a really good show. All right, what else?
You paid attention to the drama surrounding the Super Bowl halftime performance selection at all?
No. Kendrick Lamar, right?
So Kendrick Lamar is performing it at this year's Super Bowl. I, for one, thrilled. Love Kendrick Lamar. There's a lot of people in the music industry unhappy that it was not Lil Wayne, who is from New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
I also love Lil Wayne, but I have a conspiracy that I would like to run by you. I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on. And I'm not like reinventing the wheel with this one. It takes about a Google search to figure this out. Are you aware of one of Kendrick Lamar's best features of a song that was released in the mid-2010s?
No, I'm not going to be a Kendrick Lamar guy. I mean, I don't mind him, but I'm certainly not going to be able to list his discography for you. No.
So he was a feature on a song called Bad Blood. Bad Blood is sung by Taylor Swift. I think this is the NFL's way to attempt, because Taylor Swift has been a very vocal fan of Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar has been a very vocal fan of Taylor Swift over the years. I think this is the NFL's attempt to potentially not strong arm, but present an avenue for Taylor Swift to perform in some capacity at the Super Bowl.
You know, when I saw that the other day, I didn't think about the Taylor Swift connection. But, you know, I just wonder with these halftime shows. And I'm all for it. Like, I really thought Usher was outstanding. And by the way, you know, with Alicia Keys, right, with her, I think her is so talented, and I love Alicia Keys. Like, I enjoyed the halftime show last year. Who was it the year before? I can't remember.
It was Rihanna.
Last year, I thought, was really
before.
Good. Who was it?
Rihanna, when she was pregnant, doing it solo.
Rihanna.
That was a great performance. And then it was Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, and Kendrick Lamar. He becomes the first person, I think, ever to do two Super Bowls in the same decade.
Well, I just wonder how much crossover appeal Kendrick Lamar has. I think it's a lot greater than potential other options. But I'll be fine with Kendrick Lamar as the halftime show for the Super Bowl, but it's been a while, right? I guess Rihanna you could categorize as sort of a pop star.
Definitely.
Rihanna and Usher. So Rihanna was 2 years ago?
Yeah, Rihanna and Usher are both pop stars. I guess Usher's more R&B, but he's pop.
I would agree with that.
With Kendrick, obviously, you are a big Prince guy. Kendrick is a big fan of Prince. I think there will be some. The thing about that Kendrick does really, really well is get good with like the ones that came before him that laid the groundwork. So I think you'll see some things. If you've never seen a Kendrick Lamar performance, he is incredible. So I think you'll really like it.
You know, Prince, there's a documentary out on Prince.
Supposedly, that was going to be my final story because we tried to get to this yesterday, just ran out of time. There's been a documentary in the works. It's been 5 years in the works.
It's a Netflix.
With Netflix, right? Right, with Netflix. And apparently there are some not nice things in there about Prince in terms of misconduct and potential abuse and all of these things. And Prince has been for a very long time a fascinating figure in the pop culture zeitgeist and world. I don't know that we'll ever see this documentary, but I do find it interesting that it, like, every couple of months it pops up like, hey, there's this documentary that hasn't been released.
Yeah, I'll be very interested to see that. You know, I've watched a lot of different things on Prince over the years, especially since his death, and a lot of the his closest musician friends, you know, Sheila E., Lisa and Wendy, Bobby Z., all of them, they revere him, and there's nothing in the discussions about him in a lot of the different shows that they've been on, whether they've been guests or whether they've been part of some sort of YouTube Prince thing. The idea that he was abusive, I'm interested in watching it because I'm sure Netflix will get it right, you know. Who's producing it, directing it?
That I did not see. I trust Netflix more with these sorts of documentaries than I do with sports-related documentaries. I happen to think that a lot of their sports docs have been rather below average lately.
Here's the one thing about Prince that's always been the one thing in which people were close to him, professionally anyway, say about him. He was a perfectionist, and he was super, like, you know, anal retentive, controlling. Which, you know, I mean, he played everything, and everything had to be exactly the way, you know, he wanted it. In that, you know, that can drive people who are not that way nuts. Anyway, just can't believe it's been. He died in 2016, right? I think 2016, 8 years. All right, what else? Anything else?
That's all I got for you.
All right, I got something for you when we come back. The NFL's...
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
First weekend was apparently pretty popular. More on that next.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.